It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to our friend Bruce Levine. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Bruce, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. Great day in Chicago yesterday. Both teams winning big. Where do you want to begin today?
Craig Counsell smart again.
Boy, Craig Counsell, man, he was. They were people calling for his head.
18
yesterday.
Runs will do that, though, Bruce.
Yeah. 18 runs, you're a genius.
You know, he got a redo. He got Merriweather and Ray in the game one day late. Even though Ray pitched a third of an inning the day before, if he had to do it over again, Ray would have gone in earlier. But that's just not how the game's played. And, you know, you understood that he was out of pitchers. And people are going to continue to look at that. And the bullpen is certainly the key thing beginning the season here, but enjoyable game last night, and Brown getting through five innings was big for him and the team as well.
It's really interesting, I think, when you consider that they played in this minor league ballpark that they, I think, what did you say, David, 12,000 people there. They don't hold more than 15,000 there. Very intimate, and you're coming out of spring training, so you're relatively prepared for that sort of thing. How will that play over the course of the year? How will major leaguers, Bob Nightingale wrote a story about all the players complaining about having to play in that, in Sacktown, as David calls it, and in that kind of stadium. Will that Will that be a theme this year for both minor league teams, right? Because the same thing's going on in Tampa.
Yeah, yeah. George Steinbrenner Field is going to be the home of the Tampa Rays this year. And both ballparks, you know, one holds 12, I think the other 11. The interesting thing about the A's situation is they only averaged 11,000 people last year in their last year in Oakland. So from that perspective, I think they're probably going to sell out most of the games there at 12,000. Economically, as far as attendance goes, you know, you're losing nothing there, and it's kind of an interesting thing. I'm not so sure that Bob's right about going in there for a three-game series, right? Maybe in their division they play seven. You know, you come in as a visitor. I think it's kind of fun and unique, and the players always talked about going to Williamsport and playing the, you know, at that game every year at the Little League World Series. So from that perspective, you know, I think they can man up and handle a few ball games in Sacramento.
Well, Carson Kelly certainly is in favor of that. He likes playing in that park. Bruce, he hits for the cycle. First time since 1993 a Cubs player did that. Did you know that he was from the Chicagoland area, born in here before they moved out to Oregon? His parents are Chicagoans. And also, it's more pertinent to this season, how do you expect them to split time between him and Miguel Amaya? I know the spring training plan was one thing, but both guys are coming in hot and off to good starts.
Well, I think Council told me, you know, before I left spring training that, you know, when I asked him about it, he said, we're going to split it. You know, we're going to, both guys can hit. We can keep them fresh. Kelly throws a little bit better than Amaya. So that's an interesting aspect of when you're playing certain teams that run a little bit better. Amaya's arm has improved significantly over the last couple of years. He had a great arm before he had a couple of surgeries in the minor leagues, so he's come all the way back. But offensively, you know, I was on Marquee with Cliff Floyd and the other day talking about the fact that I think the Cubs' catchers can hit 20 to 25 home runs, driving 70 to 80 runs. I think they have that kind of power. And, you know, Amaya driving in 5 runs the other day and sitting on the bench the next, that's a part of baseball 2025 for sure, where the hot hand doesn't always get to catch the next day or play the next day. It's all about metrics and the matchups for that particular day.
So, Bruce, we've talked before about the White Sox pitching, and here they are off to a remarkable start with every one of their first 4 starters going 5 innings plus and not allowing an earned run. And yesterday, Martin Perez doesn't allow a hit in 6 innings and had just a phenomenal showing. They mentioned on the broadcast, I think Stoney mentioned that Brian Bashnagel noticed when he was Bannister. My God,
they're both good receivers.
I'm covering the Cubs. They noticed that he was more comfortable when his hands were at his waist as opposed to when he started with the ball kind of on his chest. So they made an adjustment there just from breaking down tape, and certainly he looked awful comfortable yesterday. Is he the guy that has kind of got the magic sauce with the pitching? Is he the guy? Clearly someone up there knows what the hell they're doing with pitching. And you look at the way they've opened the season, and you got to imagine that maybe, you know, Bannister is the guy that has figured out some things with this group. And, you know, man, they're 2-2. That's hard to believe given the way they started last year.
Well, you know, you have to give Ethan Katz some credit, too. He's been the pitching coach through good and bad over the last 4 or 5 years. And Katz and Bannister go back to San Francisco together in similar roles. So they have a long history over the last 4 or 5 years working together. And you talk to people in the game, and they tell you Bannister's one of the smartest pitching people in the game. They've known it for a long time before he came to Chicago. One of the reasons that Getz identified him and brought him in. So David and I had a great time talking to Bannister on Saturday, and he's a pretty bright guy.
He is, and he's got a lot to be happy about so far. Shane Smith goes to the mound tonight for the White Sox, the Rule 5 guy. He's got a lot of expectations to meet based on the first four starts of the season. Bruce, I think that when you look at what happened yesterday and you just got that kind of start and you get the kind of consistency from your rotation, I mean, how much of a surprise, how sustainable is this? Because you look at nobody really expected this from these guys. When you talk about the Sox pitchers, it's double A you're looking for. And then all of a sudden, Martin Perez goes six innings, doesn't give up a hit, and doesn't top 90
right.
on velocity.
You know, I'm talking to Venable, you know, yesterday, and I said, we know momentum is only as good as the next day's pitcher, but how about the feel-good part of your guys being successful early on, regardless of who the opponent is? And, you know, Minnesota's off to a horrible start here. A lot of their key players, you know, still hurt. And the Angels aren't very good. That said, you know, the White Sox have played very clean baseball defensively, you know, a couple of errors here and there. But the reality is that good defense, they've had good pitching. And this type of momentum, the feel-good for young pitchers, I think it's really important. I don't think it takes them through a whole season and makes them into an 80-win team. But, you know, the reality that these are young guys and they're feeling good about themselves in their first experience in the major leagues. And, you know, you talk about Smith, it'll be his first start, you know, in the big leagues. So I think you enjoy it while you can. And the one thing that stands out to me is the leadership of Venable. Okay, and I know we've talked about it before. He just seems like the right guy for this job. Again, I'm not saying that the White Sox won't lose 90-plus games. They probably will. But the reality of having a right guy there for player development, understanding what it's going to take and how to use people. I was totally impressed yesterday. In the second inning, they have a 3-run lead, right? And he calls for a bunt, okay, which is not, it's not great baseball, you know, statistically. It's not a great baseball play. But you know, they're thinking on a cold day, you know, not going to score a lot of runs to try to get the bunt down. The bunt fails. The guy's thrown out at third base. The very next play, Venable calls for a double steal. So he doubles down on getting those players over. They score. It changes the game and the momentum right away. So when you look at a little subtle things like what Venable is going to do and how he's keeping his team alert and ready to play, a bunt one play, double steal the next, it's pretty good.
I'm curious, Bruce, when you look at kind of the overall, the general kind of feeling in baseball, this torpedo bat thing has obviously taken on a lot of a lot of importance, and a lot of people feel that the Yankees have an unfair advantage. It's available to everybody. The other element is Milwaukee gave up 10 runs yesterday. I don't think it was to torpedo bats. So are the Brewers just not as good as anticipated, or are they taking a step back as anticipated?
They've given up 57 runs in four games. Okay,
is that a lot?
That's not good.
Even yeah. with my public school math from South Shore High School, I can figure out it's a 14-plus runs a game. It's wow. not good. It's not good. Again, it's just the beginning of the year. But, you know, torpedo bats are not. A lot of bullpens aren't ready right now. Some starters aren't ready right now. So even though it's the regular season and spring training's over, we're still seeing some spring training results. That Cub game yesterday was a spring training game, right? You're looking at the Oakland pitching staff not being very good. The Cubs taking advantage of all that and putting up 21 hits and scoring 18 runs. So, you know, it's an early part of the season. You don't get really crazy about it. But, you know, the idea that the Cubs bullpen was under the gun in the first six games of the year, I think that's something that we do every year, you know, with the NFL philosophy of if they don't do this right now, you know, the White Sox are going to have a better record than the Cubs. Okay, you know. I'm not sure about that, right?
Right. I'm still kind of fascinated by this torpedo bat thing, though, because you look at a guy like Dansby Swanson, who watched last night, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he homered again. I wonder what bat he's using. And I see in the Tribune, he was using his new torpedo bat. And he homered on back-to-back days.
Does it count?
And it does count, okay, because it's legal, Bruce. It's not breaking a rule. And you wonder, what effect is it going to have? Is it going to be just a fad? Is it psychological? Is it real? Where are you on the use of the torpedo bat? And how much of a fad do you think it will be? Or will it be something that is going to be here to stay?
It's a good question. I think the one thing you look at is, was Giancarlo Stanton of the Yankees using that bat when he hurt both elbows? Okay. He came up with two elbow injuries, one to each arm, as a part of the same going on the IL. Was he using this bat, and was the distribution of the weight on the bat impactful in the way he swung, the length of his arms, okay, the swing that he took? It's all, you know, geometrics. It's all about, you know, the individual. It's not necessarily about the length of the bat. It's about how the bat is being used. And what is that player doing with it? So from that perspective, we need a longer look at this as to whether or not everybody's going to the bat itself. I think, you know, you look at Aaron Judge, he's not using it, right? He doesn't seem to be having any problems hitting balls out of the ballpark.
Yes and no, but I understand that's the obvious example to point to, but he is the exception to the rule. He's a gigantic man. And he is one of the most prodigious power hitters of this generation.
You know,
he doesn't need that bat. Other people might.
You know, David, exactly to my point. It could be about a shortened bat with the barrel mostly in the middle of the bat. You know, the girth of the bat bigger in the middle, and the length of the guy's arms and his swing. Okay, it could be as much that as anything else. Getting to the ball and getting the sweet part of the bat, whether it's in the middle or at the end, on the ball. So for some people it might work, for others probably not necessary. It's going to be fun to watch.
I'm just curious, what is your takeaway from the Jake Eater deal? The fact that you trade, I'm just saying, you got cash considerations for a guy that cost you Jake Berger, and that led to, you know, kind of the dispute as to who do you deal with the White Sox? Are these two guys on the same page? And next thing you know, it ends up being the last trade for Kenny and Rick, or one or the other, or both of them.
Yeah, I mean, look, they haven't made all great trades, and some of Getz's trades is still, they're still being looked at and analyzed right now. But moving forward, I think the White Sox have some formula of a good rotation going right now. The bullpen is still developing. We haven't had to look at it very much because the starting pitching has been so good. So let's see how it shakes out. I mean, that might not have been the best trade in the world, but the next trade they make has to be, and that would be the Robert deal. Whether that happens sooner rather than later, I keep hearing rumblings that, even though it's still only April 1st right now, that teams might be willing to make bigger trade, add in that third young player that the White Sox are looking for to get Luis Robert. So let's keep our eye on that.
Bruce, I don't know if what bat he's using, but Andrew Benintendi seems to be off to a very good start. Do you have any explanation for that, and is that sustainable?
Well, I think it is. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star, but he was a much better player than we've seen over the last few years. You know, injury had a lot to do with it. And if you look at his last month of 2024, it was pretty good. I mean, the guy ended up with 20 home runs. He had one of the most horrendous beginnings to the year that you can imagine, to the point where he was either benched or benching himself because his swing was so bad. And you know, I think changing from, the big step out to a toe tap has helped him balance himself and get back to being the good hitter that he was. He's not a great player, but he's a good player. And he was an outstanding outfielder and a good hitter. You know, Kenny and Rick weren't way off when they made that deal to sign him to the, what was it, the biggest contract in White Sox history, $15 or $16 million dollars a year, or something like that.
Yeah, they were pretty way off.
Yeah, pretty.
But let's see. Yeah, he can be a really big asset to him.
Offish
right now. And the Vaughn swing yesterday was huge for me. I think that him getting straight out and pulling the ball, which is something, you know, seen a lot of right center in his career, pulling the ball with authority like that, I think that's a good sign.
Quickly, Bruce, before I let you go, what was your reaction to Garrett Crochet signing 6 years, $170 million contract with the Red Sox?
What a country, you know. I mean, it's a smart move for him. You know, the reality is, you know, he's pitched one season, right, as a starter. He's making that money. Good for Boston. It's obviously something the Chicago White Sox weren't or aren't able to do at this point in time. It's too bad. I'm sure a lot of White Sox fans wish it was with the Chicago White Sox, but that's certainly not the case. And I think Crochet's got a chance to be a really great pitcher if he can stay healthy.
Great stuff, Bruce. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Bruce.
Guys, have a great day.
You too.
That was a bad signing, Benintendi.
Benintendi?
Well, you can't really get rid of him now, right?
His contract would make that somewhat
hard to project. I'm saying, you know, we're talking about how quickly they can trade
Luis Robert Jr.
Luis Robert Jr. No one's mentioned a trade for him.
Well, because the affordability is a different and plus the ceiling is higher for Luis Robert Jr. Yeah. With Benintendi, you're just hoping to get something out of him this season that you haven't gotten previously, because before that it wasn't a great signing.
They were pretty far from successful on that one, honestly.
Why did you bring up Jake Eder?
I think it's worth talking about. One guy's named Berger, the other guy named Eder.
Remember they had
big winner.
They had Jace Fry?
Yeah, they had Fry was on it. Yeah, they had
Berger, Eder, and Fry.
And Colas.
Yeah, that went flat in a hurry.
How did that go? Yeah, that another guy. We haven't even spent any time talking about the Cuban Otani. All right, we got to keep going. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Mornings with Molly and Haw on 670 The Score.
We're going to limit the number of people that are directly communicating to Caleb. I'm going to be a part of that food chain. So is Declan and so is JT. The extent of which we're still working out, but we'll start on that process next week.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's the voice of Ben Johnson. He was down at the owners' meetings in Florida in Palm Beach, and he is
about an hour ago
telling people that that's it. There's going to be a small select group. Didn't they try that last year? Press Taylor is the passing game coordinator, and he is this year's version of Thomas Brown. And when Thomas Brown eventually took over as the head coach, well, as the offensive coordinator first, and he said that that he hadn't talked much to Caleb Williams, that he didn't really spend much time with him because he was only the passing game coordinator. I thought it was strange, but apparently we got the same restraints here. No?
You want to know my take on it?
I don't. You don't care. So, at all.
No. It's not that I don't care. I don't think Thomas Brown ever should have shared that.
Yeah,
I think that's unusual for him to offer that kind of information. I don't know what his motivation was, and I don't have any idea. But I think that's just common sense. Again, it's more common sense from Ben Johnson. You've got a young quarterback, and you have everybody's got their job to do. Passing game coordinator doesn't necessarily mean quarterback's best friend or even like quarterback confidant. I don't think they're actively separating the two. Like, oh boy, here comes
whatever
Press Taylor down the hallway.
Don't make eye contact.
Do not look at him because there's too many voices in his head. I just think it's just a matter of everyone's got a job description, and everyone's going to be evaluated by how well they do that job. You've got your quarterback coach. You've got your offensive coordinator. You've got your head coach. And, yes, can it get confusing for a young quarterback to have too many competing voices in his head? Absolutely. But I don't think that's going to be what the Bears are intending to do. It's not even what they're probably creating by having all of these assistant coaches, because they got so many assistant coaches.
It's a lot different.
I think we'll make more of it than it needs to be made of.
Well, look, the reality is Ben Johnson was hired because of his offensive prowess to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. He is the only one that really needs to communicate with the quarterback. I understand the offensive coordinator needs to be, but this isn't a conventional offensive coordinator.
I want him to be the guy.
And I think JT Barrett makes sense to me
as
the quarterback.
Okay.
But I think that when we judge what happens this year, a lot of it will come down to the relationship between the play caller, Ben Johnson, and the quarterback, Caleb Williams.
Thank you.
And that is the important relationship.
Bingo. That's it.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is interesting.
Right.
It's a detail. It's reporting. It's all good. Unless that communication is creating some sort of negativity for whatever reasons, becoming a distraction, or the guy who's your passing game coordinator is walking by the hallway and all he has to say is, why are you wearing that? Or, boy, you look tired. Or, why weren't you here earlier? You don't want him to add a negative to the equation. Add nothing. Add nothing at all. That's fine. Ben Johnson's relationship with Caleb Williams is the most important one in that building.
Yes.
As long as that is healthy, the rest of it is not as relevant.
That's it.
That's it.
That's all that matters.
That's it.
And you know, he even talked about the idea that the quarterback needs to see the game through the eyes of the play caller. And I like that idea, too. I like the idea of the two of them watching enough tape together that they look at the game the same way.
I like the way that Ben Johnson described, I think it was in Patrick Finley's story this morning in the Sun-Times, about how back when Jared Goff and Ben Johnson began their relationship together in Detroit, they spent 3 days, 8 hours a day just watching tape. And ordering pizza and staying in and all those things that just made this relationship, the foundation of it, very strong. I don't know what they do comparable in Chicago with Caleb Williams, but again, play caller, quarterback, that's the symbiosis you need.
Right.
That's the connection that's important, and that's the one that we'll keep an eye on the most.
And frankly, that's the one they missed on a year ago, right?
Yes.
They changed play callers. They brought in a different guy, and his job specifically was to connect with and run plays for the quarterback. And the fact that that failed led to the dismissal not only of him but of the head coach and, you know, the close call on the GM, frankly.
It's a bonus now that the play caller is the head coach in this case because you want your head coach and your quarterback to be in lockstep as well. Last year that wasn't the case, and the proxy, basically the offensive coordinator, did a terrible job of creating and fostering that relationship. So you have that extreme, and now you have this one where it's going to be just Ben and Caleb. Ben and Caleb.
That's it. That's all that we really
care about. Everyone else, they have jobs to do. They're all important. They all matter. But the most important one is the one we'll focus on, and that's the one that we're talking about.
And while we feel bad for Press Taylor, that's mainly because we want him to have a certain amount of freedom. Freedom of the press, Taylor.
Freedom of the press, Taylor. We do. Listen, if anybody at this station is going to respect the press, it will be us.
That's it.
Yes.
We're the one show.
We're the one show.
You can guarantee to hear good things from press.
No, definitely. We're going to do
that.
That's
right. That's right.
So good stuff from Ben Johnson this morning.
Yeah, it was fun.
Big night tonight. We've got a lot of things going on tonight.
It's an embarrassment for Riches yet again. We have, should we go in order?
Let's go in order.
Okay. We got to get to all the Ben Johnson stuff and kind of take it in, digest it.
Sift through it.
And go through and determine what we need to speak of it again tomorrow.
Because I don't think we expected to be talking about EPA today.
No, I don't think we expected him to be talking about how turnovers, secondary statistic. And he didn't say that. But EPA, the most important one.
I didn't expect that.
I didn't expect that.
There's a lot to go through with Ben Johnson. So that's Bears involvement.
So we have to get to that.
Got Bears.
But we're going to the Bulls game.
Bulls.
Because we've decided now we're going to go to every game.
Bulls Raptors.
No.
As long as we can sit in a suite.
Every home game.
We're going to every game.
Yeah. We're professional suite sitters.
That'd be nice.
If you have a suite that you've paid for and no one's there to sit
in. As long as all the television
turn on the light and we'll be the body that's in the suite.
As long as the multiple screens are going.
So we're going to the game. That's tons of fun. We've got the Cubs playing tonight.
That's late.
Late. That's the latest
one. We get home to watch the Cubs, at least the beginning of it, and hopefully they'll stay. The internet will be working tonight.
We got the White Sox. They're playing.
Sox
the internet,
at home.
Yeah, holds out. The Sox are at home.
Shane Smith making his major league debut.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Just because they've done very well the first four starters.
If
let's see how this works.
Is as good in the regular season as he was in the spring, the Sox are onto something.
Yes, it's a good one.
Keep the Twins down. The Twins are starting sluggish. They're injured. They're bad. They're hurt. Whatever. The Sox, they lost. Imagine being the Twins. They lost to the White Sox a game and a potential owner in the same month.
I love it. I mean, you'd rather have a piece of the Sox than own the Twins. That's beautiful
stuff.
That's
an insult.
It is kind of
so they got the Sox tonight, you got the Cubs tonight, you got the Bulls tonight, and the Bears.
And don't forget, I'm wearing the hat. It's for the Bulls, but on the side, it is a Loyola University.
Yes, they're in the semifinals of the Not Invited tournament.
That's right.
And they play that at Hinkle Fieldhouse.
The NIT. They're not in the Garden. They're in the Hinkle.
Better venue.
Better venue in Mr. David's eyes.
Better venue. Who cares about that Mecca they call Madison Square Garden?
Who cares about
they're
Mecca?
They're in the Cathedral of Basketball down at Hinkle Fieldhouse.
Yeah. Hey, listen, they got Tennessee Chattanooga.
God's country.
Did I read this right? That Layla's...
North Texas.
They could potentially meet the Ramblers in the final of the
Mean Green.
Not invited tournament.
The Mean Green against the Ramblers. That'd be a good final.
I hope it doesn't impact
bragging rights.
I hope
it could affect your guys' relationship.
I'm worried about that. Yeah. I think a nice wager of a cup of coffee would do wonders for us. Unless you want to go for a little bit more, Mr. David, troublemaker.
Vanilla latte?
Speaking of the Ramblers, did you see our guy Porter Moser has a new assistant general manager. They hired Trey Young as their assistant general manager. He is following the footsteps of one Steph Curry, who took the same position with Davidson, his alma mater. He goes back as an assistant general manager. So Trey Young now joining Porter's Oklahoma.
Why do you think he got that job?
Because he donated $1 million.
Okay, thank you.
He literally, that to kick it off, the fundraising, he gave $1 million to the basketball program. And I just thought, damn, I wish we had a good shooter.
Go Rattlers!
The NBA. That's
so,
right. That's
so
all you need.
Is that, does that mean that Trey Young is Porter's boss, or is Porter Trey Young's boss?
Porter is the assistant to the general manager, and Porter is kind of the overseer. In college basketball, the general manager works for the head coach.
Okay. I just want to make that clear.
Let's get that. Yes.
Because so it could be confusing.
Porter has the right to fire him if he doesn't give another million quickly enough.
Does Trey Young know that he's not?
I'm sure Trey Young has no idea. Trey Young probably thinks of himself as in charge of his you know, his alma mater or whatever.
Stacey King could be that guy too.
Stacey, by the way, got a hero's welcome yesterday. If you listened to or watched any of the game, I believe they talked about the various people that were coming up and greeting him, and Mark Schnowski made a point of saying that he got a hero's welcome back at Oklahoma, where he started.
He should, actually, because that is his state. He did.
Yes.
He made a name for himself as a college, as one of the greatest players in Oklahoma history.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes
him and
back
Mookie,
there.
Right? Weren't they together?
Mookie Blaylock?
No, Mookie Betts. Yes, Mookie Blaylock.
Well, I mean, listen, that wasn't for your benefit or my benefit. That was for the listener's benefit. We got to remember the demo here. A lot of people are out there. Mookie who? They're thinking Mookie Betts.
I know.
Or Mookie Wilson. Famous Mookies for 500, Alex.
Wow, there's a lot of Mookies
Mookie
now that
Blaylock,
we bring it up.
Mookie Wilson, Mookie Betts. Any other Mookies?
I think we've come up with more Mookies than I had on my scorecard.
Topped out at three?
Yeah.
There's got to be
it's
another
pretty
Mookie.
Pretty good. There must be another Mookie somewhere.
Somebody out there will tell us that we're missing out.
But so. I'm just saying, I'm happy for Porter that he got an assistant general manager who already, to get it kick-started, direct quote, he donated $1 million to the program. Pretty cool.
I think it says something about Porter Moser that he has been gone from Loyola as long as he has. He left Loyola for Oklahoma, and he still has a lot of people in Chicago hoping that he does well and wishing him well.
Including the two of us.
Definitely the two of us.
Yes.
We're longtime friends.
Got
so.
A lot of time
yeah.
for Porter. So.
And then the Hawks don't play tonight. They have the Avs in town tomorrow. So all
How
the teams
games
are active
have?
Except
seven
for the
games left?
Hawks. Yeah.
The Hawks, seven.
Seven or eight.
And they've got
enough.
And they've got seven or eight first-round picks playing, too?
Six.
I know.
Six first-round draft picks playing. Got to be the youngest team in the league, and some really good, promising prospects, especially on the blue line. A lot of young defensemen, but it's been a rough season. It's been a rough season. A lot to get excited about for the future, but it's time the present starts to matter a little bit more.
Got to get the right coach in here, and you got to get the right free agent while you're at it. Go ahead and spend some dough too.
You don't want to get younger. You can
yes.
afford to trade.
You're young enough.
You're young enough. You need some difference makers alongside Bedard. You don't really need – you have a lot of young defensemen in the pipeline. I don't know if you could add another one, but if the right price or the right trade, perhaps. But just be aggressive. Get some talented veterans and start to win more often because it was a long season.
Long season. Okay, that's fun. So we got the NIT with the Ramblers. We got the Bulls. We got the Cubs and the Sox.
How many runs the Cubs score tonight? In the teens? Double figures? Carson Kelly going deep again?
I'm totally serious. How do you rank? What is the pitching matchup? How do you look at the A's pitching staff? And is there
with anticipation?
Well, there you go.
I think tonight's a bigger start for Justin Steele than it is for Luis Severino.
Oh, that's interesting. Yes.
Severino could be one of these pitchers that could get on a roll. He could make you hurt. He could definitely make you pay. And I think that it depends on how the Cubs approach him every. I don't know what to expect from Luis Severino. He's a guy that is in not Oakland but with the A's, surprisingly, because I think he chose the A's as a free agent. And Cubs have to have the same approach at the plate. But Kyle Tucker is hot, and you see their whole lineup had a good night. So Michael Bush had 3 hits and a home run.
Yes.
When you get 21 hits and you score 18 runs, you don't have much to complain about. And you don't really have much to worry about. It doesn't really matter who's pitching.
So does Tucker have to stay?
It's very early for that conversation. It's very
early.
Can't
afford to lose him, it's no matter what. All right, we've got a lot to get to. I think we have a giveaway, Mr. David. Are we not giving something away yet?
Yes, we're going to give away. Be the sixth caller at 312-540-0670, and you can win tickets to the Jordan Davis Ain't Enough Road Tour with special guests Mitchell Tenpenny and Vincent Mason, Friday, October 10th, Allstate Arena in Rosemont. Tickets are available, if you don't win, at Ticketmaster.com, 312-540-0670, and you can be a participant. You can go to the Jordan Davis Ain't Enough Road Tour.
And we're going to do Transition next. We should tell you that Transition on 670 The Score is brought to you by Webb Hyundai in Highland or Merrillville, Indiana. Get the vehicle you deserve at the payment you want at Webb Hyundai. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Go Ramblers!
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.